altar is available. If you didn't pick one up last week, you can certainly do so today. We usually have a few of them left over, so if you have a friend you want to pass one on to, that's cool too. I noticed last week that the little boxes of inspirational cards went well, and there's a couple left. So again, if you have a friend you want to pass one on to, feel free to do that. So, first Sunday after Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And living right in here, which we experience every day, right? Yep. Through all the dust in the air, and there's plenty of that, for sure. Jesus is alive. It's the reason we're here. It's the reason we keep going on. The reason for the season. We usually say that at Christmas time, but Easter works too. Less than 40 days from now, we will celebrate Pentecost. Isn't much of a celebration in the Christian church, but for the nation of Israel, it was their second major feast of the year. What we celebrate is Easter, Passover, three celebrations at that time during that 10-day period, and then Pentecost, and then in the fall, three more celebrations for the Jewish people. And we don't pay any attention to the fall ones. We pay attention to Thanksgiving, but not the fall celebrations. There's a few announcements. A week from today, during Sunday school time, we are going to have our quarterly church business meeting. I invite everyone to come and help us out making decisions. Member or not member, it makes no difference to me. Because we are a family and we need to hear from everybody about where we should go from here and the decisions that we should make. Those of you who are on the email list, you already got some of the items that we're going to be looking at next week. So you can read about those and get yourself prepared and pray and so forth. So I put an announcement in the bulletin. I have a dream. And there's a bunch of words there. So I'm just going to say I have a dream that this fellowship will continue into the future with us and beyond us. The reason I have that dream is because the people who built this church, that was their dream. I know there's some things that look a little iffy, numbers for one thing, and the nature of the United States of America, which is, I'll blame it on Dr. Jeremiah. Dr. Jeremiah feels that it's getting worse and worse instead of better and better. There's hope on the horizon, but the local church to me is critical. For believers and continuing for believers. So as a part of that, some of you know that I went to the rural ministry seminar, and I told Julius the first conference I've been to in a long time that actually was beneficial. So I brought home like 8 books, and it's all about how can a local church have effective ministry in rural America? And yes, I know we live in the Quad Cities, but we are really a rural ministry and a rural church. And so my project over the summer is to study those materials and to put together some ideas and challenges for us in the fall. Ahead of that, this spring, starting 2 weeks from today at 11 o'clock during the Sunday school hour, we're going to have 3 Sundays regarding membership. And it's designed for those of us who are members of this local church and for those who might be interested in being members of this local church. The most important part to me is, what do we want to be And what do we want to be to our community? Those are answers I think we all need to answer together, rather than Mike coming up with his own brilliant plan, like last week's sermon, for example. Everybody wondered about the box. That was double stick tape, by the way, just for everybody's information. So I really ask you to pray about, consider, and make a commitment to come to those three Sundays. Now, they're kind of oddly spaced, April 26th and May 3rd, then skipping May 10th. Anybody know why?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, right, yes. And then coming back on May 17th. And I want these to be discussions. We'll look at the position of the covenant, more importantly to me, who we are. The Evangelical Covenant Church is unique among denominations in that it allows the local church to develop its own vision and ministry. And so I want to talk about that. And then the 24th of May is Memorial Day weekend. And so we will not be having service that day. That's sort of a tradition. I don't know how many years that's been in place, but it's sort of a tradition that we've held to. And then coming back in June. Well, no, the last Sunday of May still might be a Sunday. 31st or something like that. Okay. So coming back almost in June. If you are interested in taking a lily, please do so, because they aren't going to make it. We've been tending, several of us have been tending them this week, and they're not going to make it substantially for another week. So they will disappear for next Sunday. Our call to worship is from hymn number 137, and some of you have been noticing that I've been using hymns more frequently in our prayers and in our call to worship. I think some of you know why. Hymns are written, and they have meaning. So if you'd stand with me. Who is the King of Glory? What shall we call him?
He is Emmanuel, the promise of ages.
He gave his life for us, the pledge of salvation.
He took upon himself the sin of the nations.
He conquered sin and death. He truly is risen.
And he will share with us his heavenly vision.
And the first hymn is number 253. Traditional Easter hymn, He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for capturing those high notes, because I certainly couldn't. Let's pray together. O glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son. Now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading today is Psalms 16, and it's on page 410 of your Pew Bible. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And our second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 to 9 on page 922. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Time for us to offer our gifts unto the Lord and our tithes. As I've reminded you several times before, we give with joyful hearts. We give things as a gift to our God. Gail, would you come forward, please? Let's pray. Our gracious Lord Jesus, You have given all, we give some. Receive our gifts from our hearts with joy, that you might be honored and glorified, and that the work of your kingdom through the small local churches all over the world might continue to proclaim your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing our praise and honor and blessings to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I have my list of prayer needs, many of them recovery. Praying for Ken as he continues to recover. Kathy, as she continues to recover. Roger, for sure, as he recovers, and also for wisdom for the doctors, so that we can see victory. Prayer for Marianne as she recovers and gets some answers to help her. Praying for Steve and for Steve and Linda and their family. Probably could pray for Roger and Gail and their family as well. A couple of different prayer requests for today. I'd like to ask prayer for Sarah and Coley Max with their very unusual plumbing problem, which I have not been able to solve yet. So, well, hallelujah. Answers to prayer. That's better than answers from Mike. Answers to prayer. Hallelujah. Well, thank you. I have another unusual prayer request. John and I are going to tackle his truck project. It's been many years since I have been in the inside of an engine. So we'll probably need some prayer for lots of things. So if you would pray for us. And as you have discovered or know, I am not as strong as I used to be when working on cars, and so we may have some challenges with some of those not so friendly bolts as we begin the project. And I also would like to include Amy and Kai, our next door neighbors, in our prayers as well. They could use some prayer, and their family, as a matter of fact, during this season of time. Other prayer requests. John.
Lady that started working at Super One, as we got acquainted, she was new. She said, well, it's been about 10 days ago her 35-year-old daughter died.
Oh, yeah. What was her first name?
Dar.
Dar. Yep. Thank you for reminding me.
And then, walking down the street, a man asked me to pray for him.
Okay.
Let me get his name.
Okay. And Bob?
Laurel Peace.
Laurel?
World Peace.
World Peace. Thank you. Nothing like taking on a big prayer project. Yes, hallelujah. If you didn't hear that, Linda was tested for lupus and it came back negative. Bless the Lord. So we have praise requests or praises today, as well as prayers. Any other prayer needs that you know of or come to mind? Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you this morning somewhat with the emotions of the Old Testament prophets as we grieve for a nation and for a world that has chosen substantially to disregard you, the God of all glory, and choose their own way through war and crime, affecting and infecting the lives of other people with disaster, tragedy, pain, grief, sorrow, a world that makes decisions not based on your love and grace, but based on power, based on self, based on money. We know, our Father God, that the answer is you. So as our hearts are heavy and we pray for this world, that you would intervene to bring peace, and health, safety, calm, true joy. We today are here to acknowledge that you are our true joy. You are our peace, our strength. You are our God. And because of your Son Jesus, who won the victory, who paid the price, We choose today to go on with you. We are your people. We choose with all of the rest of your people around the world to go on. Your kingdom, we march forward. We lift up to you today, Father, these needs. First, giving you praise for the solution for Sarah and Coley. Praise for a good report for Linda. We also give you praise for the answers to prayer that you have poured into our individual lives over these past days, especially through the time of celebrating, understanding, experiencing the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. You have made a difference in our lives. We lift up to you for recovery. Those who have experienced different kinds of physical, medical impacts. We ask for, Father, full recovery. That is beyond the estimation of the medical community and beyond sometimes our faith. But we ask because you have said, ask and ye shall receive. You have said, your Son has said, you have not because you ask not. We ask for your continued grace with these families as well. I would ask that you would send a special ministry to Marianne, blessing her with health and encouragement, joy and strength. Thank you for that. Father, John and I ask for wisdom, strength, and skill to be able to successfully tackle and complete this project on the repair to the engine of his truck, thanking you ahead of time for answer to prayer. Probably, Father, ask for safety as well in tackling these mechanical issues. And Father, I would ask that you'd continue to bless our neighbors next door as they struggle through these months of relocation, reestablishing family routines, continuing their walk of faith and their joy and their peace. When obstacles confront them, give them the strength to overcome and give them the wisdom to seek you. Give us the wisdom to seek you when obstacles confront us. Father, as we've been praying, other needs have come to mind for many of us, and so we would agree with our brothers and sisters, even as those requests are unspoken. Even as those requests were sent to you, we agree and ask that you would meet those needs, and that ultimately you would be glorified and honored as we glorify and honor you for all of your goodness forever and ever and ever. We seal these requests in the name of your Son, whom you love, the name of Yeshua, whom we call Jesus, the one that you sent to make all things new. The change maker. In that name, amen. Hymn number 249, another traditional or historic Easter hymn, 249. My apologies for my trifocals. I think I was singing a wrong verse there, or part of a wrong verse. Today I would like to return to Acts of the Apostles, the book written by Luke. And we will be in chapter 13, since in our previous study, we had gotten through chapter 12. So, chapter 13 and chapter 14 in 17 minutes. That's how long it took when I practiced it the first time. We'll see how it goes today. The first missionary journey of Paul. The first missionary journey of Paul began in the city of Antioch of Syria. Now, it's a little confusing when you start reading from chapter 13 on because there are two Antiochs. And sometimes you don't know whether you're a foot or a horseback. One Antioch is in Syria. That's where Paul's base of operations was. Syria, a little bit different from Syria today, Syria is just next to Israel, right on the northwest corner attached to the Holy Land. And so it was very natural for the progression of Christianity to move outside of Israel and Judah into Syria. It was also very natural because Syria was along the coastline, so it was a very prosperous nation because of trade. The other Antioch was called Antioch of Pisidia. We will find Paul traveling there, that is in Asia Minor. If you have maps in the back of your Bible, you can consult Paul's first missionary journey and you can get a picture of it in your mind. He travels across the Mediterranean to the island of Cyprus and then up into Asia Minor and then goes east in Asia Minor. And like I say, you can get a picture of it if you look at the map, if you have maps in the back of your Bible. So we begin in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. And then it lists a few. Some may have been the pastors there. Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And then in verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord, that is, I believe, the church was ministering to the Lord, and fasting. Now, we haven't spent much time on fasting, but for these folks here, it wasn't a special occasion. They were just doing it as they prayed, seriously seeking the Lord. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, we don't know how the Holy Spirit said it. We don't know if it was a word of prophecy from one of the prophets who were in this church. We don't know if it was a sense that the communal gathering had felt and come to consensus on, or unanimity on. One of the things that I really like about walking together as a people of faith is when we can come together in a sense of consensus and unity on what God wants us to do and who God wants us to be. They came to that conclusion one way or another. These two guys have talked to us about the work that God has talked to them about, and so we are going to agree with them and we're going to send them out. This isn't like the commissioning today of missionaries or the commissioning of pastors or the commissioning of evangelists today, where the individual today has to get their support all taken care of ahead of time and then the church lays hands on them and commissions them. No, these guys are just going no matter what. They're just going. Don't know where they're going. They're just going. No funding. They're just going to trust God. These two guys, Barnabas and Saul. Both of these guys, by the way, very critical men in the narrative of the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, becoming Paul, of course, gets bigger press. But Barnabas was incredibly effective in his ministry as well. And so it says in verse 3, they did it again. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Lesson number 1. The local church sent them. The Evangelical Covenant Church believes that the local church has the authority and responsibility to decide matters like this. And so the Evangelical Covenant Church says, if you decide that a person is to be your pastor, then we will support you. And the reason I mention that is not all denominations do it that way. Here in Acts chapter 13 is the example of the local church deciding we're sending these guys out. Actually, all they were doing was agreeing with Paul and Barnabas for the vision that God had given to them. So that's lesson number one. Interestingly enough, this is one of the rabbit trails for me, but interestingly enough, in verse 5, it says that John went along as their helper. John doesn't get much press either. The word helper here is actually a very interesting word. It is a deckhand on a ship, a rower, actually, to be specific. Some of you have seen those old movies where the rowers are down in the belly of the ship, chained to their task. That's what this word refers to. Not a slave. Not a bond slave, as Paul was, by choice. A rower was even lower than a bond slave. Many rowers died with the oars in their hands. They were not taken care of well. They didn't have choice, as Paul did, to choose to be a bond servant. It says here that John was that kind of person. I have a little bit of flavor of this. Maybe you do as well. When I was growing up, my father was quite a taskmaster. There were no options. When he wanted something done, there was no discussion. My older brother and I learned early on that there were consequences for discussion. There were consequences for questions. So I got a little taste of it. But I got a real good taste of it when I was traveling with Christian music teams as a roadie. A roadie is one of those people that does everything that everybody else wants done. Go run and get coffee. We need donuts. Get that speaker up, set up right. Make sure that that sound is right. Because afterwards, you're going to get criticized if things are not right. John was even more committed than that to his Jesus. You might think that I'm talking about the Apostle John. You might think that the reference here is to the Apostle John. It's not. It's to John Mark, a boy. We think it's the boy who fled from the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers came and they tried to grab him, they grabbed his garments, his clothing, and were told that this young man, this boy, teenager probably, ran away naked because the soldiers were left holding his clothing. This is John Mark. We're going to hear a lot about him as well in the book of Acts. John Mark, a rower. There's another John the Apostle, who had the same kind of approach to his Christianity. Not a lot of acclaim, not a lot of press, just loving and serving Jesus. In fact, we don't hear about John the Apostle by name in the entire New Testament from Acts chapter 8, all the way through the New Testament until Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. John doesn't even mention himself by name when he writes his epistles. All John and John Mark are interested in doing is serving. No press, no announcements, unnoticed, just committed to Jesus. And so the second lesson from Acts 13, the lesson of deep humility, commitment, doing the work of God unnoticed, reminds me and dates me of a 1970s gospel song by Larry Norman, I Am a Servant. I'll read a few of those words. I am a servant. I am listening for my name. I sit here waiting. I've been looking at the game. I am a servant. I am waiting for the call. So you feed my soul and make me grow, and you let me know you love me. I'm worthless now, but I made a vow. I will humbly bow before thee. Oh, please use me. I am a servant getting ready for my part. There's been a change, a rearrangement in my heart. At last I'm learning there's no returning once I start. To live's a privilege. To love is such an art. In this partnership, Barnabas and Paul with John Mark launch out to spread the incredible good news of Jesus, which is truly the Easter message. They launch out also to spread their invitation, and I'd like you to take special note of this. Their invitation, come and discover Jesus for yourself. Come and discover that Jesus is alive for yourself. We'll probably come back to that theme sometime. But it's of note, at least to me, that this wasn't a sales trip. This wasn't a trip to convince people to come to Jesus, and the reason it's important to me is because I've struggled with that through the years, and I've seen other ministers and evangelists struggle with it as well. This is an invitation, and it's based on faith, that if you accept the invitation, Jesus will take care of the rest. He will prove himself to you. And I believe that even in our faith walk, as we pray for people for healing or for help or whatever the case may be. To me, it's faith that once I pray, Jesus will reveal himself to me and to other people. And so that's the third lesson of Acts 13 and 14. And I hope it's helpful to you in your ministry to other people. Invite. You don't have to convince. You don't always have to get in arguments with people about Jesus. And I know there are some folks who are given a special ministry of defending the truth that is in this book. That is not always our job. It is given to some special people. Invite people to try out Jesus, to experience him. Remember, this is based on faith. That's the third lesson. Now this crew of three travels on to Cyprus, particularly noting that they were in two cities in Cyprus. And during that time, a proconsul asks them to come and tell him their experience. What is this all about? Probably just out of curiosity, because he heard about all the miracles that were happening. During that time, a magician and Jewish false prophet were told in ahead of Acts 13:12, oppose them. However, God wins out in the end, and Acts 13:12 says, "Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord." We find this repeated over and over and over again in the book of Acts. Opposition, salvation. Opposition, God wins. Opposition, death, stoning, God still wins. We're going to see that over and over again. They move on now from the island of Cyprus, going north up into Asia Minor, the area that we would know of as Turkey today. And in that area, Paul visits several churches, several synagogues, actually, with Barnabas and John Mark along with him. And in every one of those synagogues, he preaches this annoying message to the Jews. He recounts their history, how God delivered them from Egypt, sent them into the promised land, conquered seven nations, established them as the greatest nation on earth at the time. And then he moves on to the New Testament and says, "Your leaders, you Jews, your leaders crucified Jesus. But Jesus was raised again from the dead." And Peter could stand up and say, "I can attest to that. I can witness to that. I saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead." Paul could stand up and say, "I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I have seen him. I've talked with him. He is real." And so in verses 38 and 39 is this message. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things which you could not be freed from through the law of Moses." Tuck this away. Moses, the law of Moses, and grace. Because next week we start the war between law and grace. In Acts 15, the war of law and grace, not amongst unbelievers, but the war of law and grace amongst believers. That war has continued for 2,000 years. We still have that battle going on today, law and grace. The three companions move on to Iconium. And in Iconium, chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "A great multitude believed, both of Jews and of Greeks." The leaders there, the Jewish leaders, once again, and arousing some of the inhabitants of the city, planned to stone them. These three guys got word that this was going to happen, and so they scooted out of town, heading on to Derbe, through several towns, leaving a trail of miracles behind them, and kept traveling on. The stories of their miracles were so impressive that by the time they got to Derbe, the folks in that town who were Roman Greek god worshipers thought they were gods. And so the religious leaders, pagan religious leaders, said, let's get offerings together and sacrifice to these three guys. They're gods. That's how astounding the miracles were that were being performed by Saul and Barnabas and perhaps John Mark. Saul and Barnabas barely were able to restrain this crowd from offering sacrifices to them. That's an interesting sidelight. By now, Saul and Barnabas and John Mark thought, we've escaped the stoning back in Iconium. Not so fast. Those religious leaders from Iconium followed them. And here they came to where Saul and Barnabas and John Mark were and were told in Acts 14 they were stoned to death. At least that's how it appeared. But we're told in verse 20, Acts 14:20. But while the disciples stood around him, he arose and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. We're told, whether dead or not dead, Paul got right back up, didn't leave, didn't go to the doctors, didn't go to the house to recover. He got up, went right back to the city to face the very people who had just stoned him. By now you probably got the picture. Paul something else, and Barnabas right by his side. Lesson number 4. Get back up. Get back to it. And so they did. Now, if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you'll be able to see this in picture form. After this incident, what did Paul and Barnabas and John Mark do? They went back through all the cities they had already traveled through. How about that? In your face kind of stuff. All those cities that have been trying to kill them, they went right back through those cities on their way back to Antioch, their starting point. And in every one of those cities, you know what they did? They established the churches. They appointed elders and appointed pastors. And then moved on to the next city. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, when they arrived back in Antioch, they gathered all the church together. They reported all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. That's what we did today. We gathered the church together. We reported all the things that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark had done and how God had worked with them through this first missionary journey. The people who've come to the Lord, the opposition, the death or supposed death of stoning. Bold leaders for Jesus. And coming up next week, Acts chapter 15, the war amongst believers. Our ending hymn is number 259, again, a traditional Easter hymn of the church. Let us turn to one another and bless one another in the name of the Lord with Aaron's blessing. Sitting out this door, you might want to visit her first.